So we are reading the Sefer Yeshua, the book of Yeshua, chapter 1. Now, as we've discussed, the big bulk of the first part of the book, the first 12 chapters, are about the story of the conquest of the land. But now, in more detail, we could separate it into a few more divisions. And if we want to give a great division of this first part, we could say that it has two parts. The first part is the story of them entering the land. There's a specific story of entrance of the land that seems to been important. Of course, can be said just as the beginning of the conquest, but there's a specific story of the entering of the land, and most explicitly expressed by the term, the crossing of the Jordan. The crossing of the river, of the Jordan River, which, as we'll see later in chapter 3, 4, happened with a miracle, with something analogous to Kriyas Yamsuf. So, as we've seen, in many ways, Yeshua is following the paradigm, the analogy of Moshe. Moshe took out the people of Mitzrayim by crossing the Yamsuf. Yeshua brings them into Eretz Canaan by crossing Jordan. But before we get to that, we have some preliminaries for that. There's two important preliminaries for that. Which are explicitly framed as preparation for that. So that's why I'm saying there's this part of entering the land, which is a point for itself. Before they start having wars, of course, that's itself some kind of war, but like the beginning of a conquest, maybe the other people living there wouldn't have been so happy, but just entering a land, they didn't enter into a city yet, right? So it's not like they're going into a place where there's people. They're just setting up camp in a location, but not exactly where... not exactly where there is a fight to be had yet, but that's the first step of entering the land. And there's these two important parts framed as preparation for that. First is this story of statements. It's all about words, all words, and it includes different speeches, we could say. Three different kinds of speeches, which prepare the people, saying they should be ready to enter the land. Yeshua should be ready, the people should be ready. Yeshua prepares the people, the commanders, the people in charge of the people to be ready. To read today. The second part is the story of the spies that Yeshua sends to Jericho, which again are really spies for the first city they will conquer, as Jericho, and there will be a story of that, but at the other side of the river, and sending the spies. That's the second story, that's before, and it seems to be important as a way of preparing the people and soothing their fears and assuring them they shouldn't be scared of entering the land, which is a big problem. Moshe himself has the biggest issue, when we read the entire Sefer Devarim, all the great speeches of Moshe and Sefer Devarim are in some sense an antidote to the fears of the people that were afraid of entering the land, and the people that they will see there, which this is the story of the Menachaglim, where the people were scared of entering the land, right? It's not yet a practical problem, it's more the psychological problem of their fears. And of course, Yeshua himself is one of the two spies who are not afraid. So it's very appropriate that his job is to make the people not scared. And this is the rhetorical point of these speeches in the beginning of the book, in the same way as it's the practical point of the story of the spies in the second chapter, which is precisely corresponding to the story of the spies in Sefer Bamidbar, where over there were 12 spies, only two of which supported the morale of the people. The other 10 broke them and scared them. And here we have only two spies. Those two spies might not be literally Yeshua and Kalev, because she is now the leader. And Kalev, as we'll see later, was also a great leader later. But it perfectly responds by the number to the point of bringing back information from the land, telling people not to be scared to cross over to it. So now let's read the first chapter. So the first chapter consists, as I said, of really, I think, three speeches or three dialogues, three pieces of rhetoric. The first speech is Hashem's speech to Yeshua himself. And this is in some sense, some of it can be said to repetition of things that Hashem already told Yeshua and Moshe in Sefer Shpamidbar and Sefer Devarim. We had the very explicit where Hashem told Moshe that he will be Metzaves Yeshua, will command Yeshua, will appoint him to his position, appoint him to give him the power and the hope, and the, like I said, both the like physical, technical power and the spiritual, moral power to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. And it's repeated here and even strengthened here in some ways. And the speech goes like this. It gives the time after the death of Moshe's Eved Hashem. Hashem speaks to Yeshua Benin, which was the Meshores Moshe. And there's some correspondence here. Moshe was the servant of Hashem, and Yeshua is the servant of Moshe, and therefore is by transference also the servant of Hashem and will become a replacement of Moshe. And Hashem tells him like this. First sentence, he tells him, Moshe, Avdi Moshe, my servant, Mess has died. Obviously, he knows this. Obviously, we've read this in the story in the end of Sefer Shemos. But there's a rhetorical point for this in sense of making clear. Moshe has died, and now it's you. So don't like imagine that maybe he's still alive, or don't like, sometimes people don't realize, like the old leader died. Now, like, it's very clear. He has died, and now, Va'ata, you will stand up and cross this Yarden, you, along with the people, to the land that I have given you, that I have promised you. And he promises any place where you step, your foot will step, will be yours. In other words, you will have an easy time conquering it. You won't have to fight too much. That's, I think, what it means. Any city where you go, any place where you'll go, will be yours. And it gives the limits, it gives the borders of the land all the way from this desert, or the Levonen Hazeh. I'm not sure why Levonen would be Zeh, because the desert where they are is in the east of Israel. And apparently all the way up to Levonen, which is north of that. And all the way of Adanora Golden Harper us, all the way to the Euphrates River, which is even further east, and Kol Eretz HaChittim, which is the land of the Hittites. Apparently, in between these two is called Eretz HaChittim, or also the other way to the west. And here he gives the west, all the way to the Great Sea, which is to the west, where the sun sets, Mavei HaShemesh. This will be their border. So he's giving you. He's already sort of in the place where he's promising him, right? Because the place that Moshe conquered already, Arve Smoev, where the people are now, is also really included in, as we usually say, the greater borders, right? It's called Greater Israel sometimes. The borders all the way from the Euphrates River, from Nahar Paras, all the way to the Yamsef, all the way to the sea, or at least all the way to the west, to the sea and to the west of Israel, called the Yam, right? The word Yam in Hebrew means the west or the sea, because that's where the sun sets from the perspective of the Mediterranean, from the perspective of the land of Israel. So that's where your borders, and here is in the middle. So that's what we have, like sort of these three extremities noted there. And so that's his promise for the conquest, against the nations living there. And now he also discusses his power that he's giving him relative to the internal, to the people inside. And he says, nobody would stand up against you your entire life. And this is even like, unlike Moshe, people stood up against Moshe, right? Yat dasam avirim yasu netzavim. They stood against Moshe. Here, lo yis yatzifesh lefenech. Nobody would stand against you your entire lifetime. I will be with you like I was with Moshe. I will not let you become weak. I will not leave you. So that's his premise of his leadership, that as long as he's alive, there will be no challenge internally to his leadership. And like I noted, this is in some sense even stronger with Moshe, because Moshe did have some challenge to his leadership. Yeshua, at least what's recorded in this book, had no challenge to his leadership whatsoever. But Kashi Yisei Moshe, it's interesting, because this language that's told to Moshe was told to Moshe with Pare as the antagonist. So I will be with you against Pare. And here it's, I think, the context of this verse is Yeshua against any like potential rebels within the people. So the same kind of power that Moshe had against Pare, Yeshua really has over the people. Absolutely always wins. And now we have two sort of statements, like because I told you this, two statements beginning with Chazak v'amatz, be strong and be strong, two ways of saying be strong. And first he says, be strong because you will give the people to inherit this land that I promised you, so be strong in war. That's what Rashi explains. The first is be strong, so be strong because I promised you. And the second is Rak Chazak v'amatz, but be strong, but don't just be strong. We could say physically or emotionally, morally, like morale. Also, be strong to keep the Torah. only. In other words, it's this sort of condition. I think the Raka is giving a condition. Of course, I promised you the land, but there is a condition, as we've discussed with Moshe multiple times. The condition is, and you have to be strong for that also, because he's a leader, and obviously leaders have reasons not to follow the Torah, as we see later in Tanakh. So be strong to follow this Torah as Moshe, my servant, has told you, has commanded you. Don't stray from it left or right. This is the idiom of Sefer Dvorim many times. The Torah is a straight path, and later we have a lot of times Hayosha ben Hashem, the straight path in the eyes of Hashem. Going left or right is like going off the path, the correct way. Leman task, so you succeed in every way. So the promise that I just gave you, every place you will go will be yours, people will always listen to you. That's sort of contingent on you following the Torah correctly. And he gives him specific advice or specific instructions of how to do this. This book of Torah, which probably refers, like Rashi says, the book of Devarim, which is called the whole time Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. This book of Torah should not move away, I think, from your mouth. You should always keep it in your mouth. You should repeat it, like it says in Sefer Devarim. You should keep on repeating it. Keep on telling it to yourself. Speak in it or think of it day and night. I think this very much corresponds to what it says over there. You should keep on talking about the Torah. You should repeat it. You should chazer it the whole time. So you shall keep everything it says. And then you will be successful in all of your ways. So this is the condition of Yeshua's promise, that if he keeps the Torah, and also adding like a way to do it, like a solution, advice. How do you never forget the Torah? By always keeping on repeating it to yourself, reading it day and night. So this doesn't literally mean that he should be a lamdan instead of a warrior, instead of a leader. What it means is something like the reading of Shema. You keep on talking about it, keep on repeating it. You know, we read the Torah every year. That's the point. It's very similar to what was told also for the king in Sefer Dvarim. The king should always, in order leman yilmad, so he should follow the Torah. And that this little speech concludes with a repetition of the main theme of it, as the style of the Nach is, I have commanded you, Chazak v'matz. So the third time it says, Chazak v'matz, don't be afraid, because Hashem, your God, is with you wherever you go. And here God, it's the name in God speaking here, but he speaks about himself in the third person. This is very much the style of Moshe's speeches in Sefer Devarim. Of course, of the Moshe speaking in the name of God, her God himself is sort of taking this place of Moshe and saying, Hashem Elekecha. Okay. So that's the first speech of Hashem to Yeshua. Now we have a little message or a little speech of Yeshua to the Shoytrei Am. Shoytrei Am is people who have met already before, the leaders of the people that the enforcers. I'm not sure what exactly the word Shoytrei, something like enforcers. Nowadays it means Shoter is a police, but I don't think that's the precise meaning of the word in Tanakh. But Shoytrei is something like the enforcers, the people, the commanders of the people. And he tells them like this. He tells them to command the people that they should prepare tzedah, they should prepare provisions for the way, because in 3 days they will cross the Jordan River. So as I said, this is all very clearly preparing them to cross. And again, this is unlike Moshe. Moshe told the people to go out of Mitzrayim. He told them to be prepared, right? Masleichem chagurim, and to be prepared with their sticks and everything. But v'gam tzedah lo silem, they did not actually make provisions. That's why Moshe had to provide to them man and matzah and all the stories. Over here, Yeshua is telling them very clearly, prepare provisions, because in 3 days, we're going to inherit the land that God told you. And he tells this to the middle management, so to speak. Yeshua doesn't speak directly to the people. Maybe later we'll see him speaking directly to the people sometimes, but it's very clearly here that Yeshua, in the beginning of a leadership, like the main, everyone knows the main like challenge of a leader in the beginning is not so much the people follow, whatever the leaders follow. The main challenge of the people, just like we saw in the beginning of the leadership of Moshe, is to get the sort of middle class, the middle management, the elders of the tribes, the shoytrim here, to accept his leadership. And we'll see in the next part of this chapter, also an important story about this. So he commands them, this is him asserting his authority. He's asserting his authority over these shoytrim, which were previously Moshe's enforcers and now are listening to him. And they tell the people to prepare provisions for the day, because in 3 days, always, they tell you to prepare yourself always 3 days before something. So in 3 days, like Shlishis Me'agbala from Am Darsina and so on, in 3 days, we'll be crossing the river. And now we have a specific statement, a specific speech or command from Yeshua to these 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and the half a tribe of Manasseh, and Yeshua commands them. And this is very explicitly Yeshua taking over something, a deal that Moshe already made with them, which we discussed, we learned this in Parshas Matos in Sefer Bamidbar. And Yeshua is here saying that he will enforce the conditions that Moshe has said. So this is very clearly an instance of Yeshua clarifying his authority and his specifically his inheritance of Moshe's authority. So he's saying, the deal that Moshe made with you, this is, you're going to follow it now. And there seems to have been a challenge here. Again, him making sure that the people, the elders of the people, the leaders, the military leaders, the social leaders, political leaders, whatever they are, should actually follow him. And here we have them sort of swearing allegiance to him. Very clearly. So he tells, Yeshua tells them, remember what Moshe, Eved Hashem, commanded them. And what did Moshe tell you? Moshe told you that Hashem, your God, will give you this land, right? As we saw, Hashem gave them peace because Moshe already conquered the Transjordan, the areas of Ammon and Moab, Sichon Va'og. Sorry, the lands of Sichon Va'og, and this is where they were living. But they requested from Moshe to stay there, and Moshe said, "No, you cannot stay here. You can have this land on the condition that." As Yeshua says, now, you will leave your women, your children, your possessions, your animals here. They will stay here at the place that Moshe gave you on this side of the river. But you will have to pass through, the cross over the river, armed with your arms, in front of your brothers, Kol Geberichal, all your warriors, your strong people, your strong men. You will be the vanguard for the people. You will help them. And again, Va'azartem is almost always the Shodesh Ezra, almost always in Tanakh means military help. You will help them until Hashem will make peace for your brothers on the other side. In other words, you're going to help them with their entire conquest. And when they finish, you will go return to your land and you will sit there. You will inherit it, the land that Moshe gave you on this side. And we'll see later in the book, at the end of the conquest, that this actually happens. And there's a note of this, of their return, and Yeshua sending them back to Evra Yarden. So this obviously was Yeshua very clearly asserting his authority and continuing what Moshe said. And they answer Yeshua and they say, yes, we will do everything you've commanded us. We will go wherever you sent us. In other words, we'll go to war. We'll be the vanguard in front of the people. And they say very clearly, as we've obeyed Moshe, we'll obey you. And then here, there's again a little condition, rak. Just like Hashem gave Yeshua a very nice chizuk with a rak, they also have a condition, rak. This is the condition that Hashem really said, that only Hashem should be with you as he has been with Moshe. And this is, it can be read as something like a blessing, like, and may God give that he should be with you as he was with Moshe. But Rashi, and I think also this literal meaning is something like, there's some hidden, at least, maybe subtly, there's a condition here. It's like, yes, you ask us to pledge allegiance to you. We're sure, we're happy to do it, but you have to also do your side of it, right? You have to be strong. You have to succeed for us. You have to be successful as Moshe was successful. And then they even clarify the allegiance that they have even more, since these are the, like, obviously he's not talking to everyone, right? He's talking to the leaders, to whoever is in charge. And he says, anyone that disobeys you or doesn't listen to you, yamre aspicha, which is some kind of disobedience or rebels against you, anyone who disobeys with you will be put to death. So this is them very clearly saying, we will enforce your authority. So, of course, Hashem will be with you, but we will help you. We'll help make sure that Hashem, that you're successful, that Hashem is with you by killing anyone that opposes you. So obviously they're anticipating that there might be some rebellion. There might be some people that don't agree with Yeshua's leadership. And they're saying, we're on your side. And then if they conclude, then this little speech, this little sort of pledge of allegiance, it concludes with the same slogan of this whole chapter, Akhazak Femat, just be strong and be strong. I don't know how to... be strong and have good courage. I see this, someone translates here. In any case, be strong. And this is the fourth time we have this Chazak Ve'ematz in this chapter, and that's the motive of the chapter, Rak Chazak Ve'ematz.